the buzzer. McCord on its way. Oh my goodness.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
It's world's greatest podcast, a.k.a. Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic. A Big Ten, Pac-12 edition. Steve Peichel is going to join us. Before we get to all that, Seth's got something on Bruce Pearl he needs to say. He's got to say.
Love my guy Bruce Pearl. All right, but Bruce, come on now. First of all, on a Sunday, NFL Sunday, we make this announcement. Number two, Bruce, who do you think you came? Said, well, you know, we're taking the two-year penalty because we weren't in the tournament last year and we're not going to be in this year. Bruce, I hate to tell you, you're my guy, but everyone wasn't in the tournament last year, all right? It's not a two-year probation. Number three, all right, your team is not very good. In fact, your best player now, Sharif Cooper, has decided that maybe he's going to go and sign start working out with a pro guy and leave school. So, like, come on now. Like, here's the deal. If you're under NCAA investigation, I don't want to hear anyone talk about self-imposing. It's a joke. The reason you're under investigation is you let the process play out. That's like going to the judge and saying, hey, judge, I was thinking about it. I think I'll just do community service for 100 hours. We'll be good. All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Sorry to take up so much of your time. I mean, they've spent millions of dollars on this investigation. So then, but the school's going to decide to impose penalties. Love my guy, Bruce, but who do you think you're fooling?
You know what? It's fooling a lot of people because I've learned it's not what you do, it's what you say. And people believe it, man. People will believe, but also, I love our guy, Bruce, too. And I love his son, Steve. But at some point, you got to not be involved in these things. Like, maybe you don't. No, actually, as I said that, I wanted to swallow the words back. Because being involved in these things has worked out pretty well for Bruce Pearl. It's never deterred his career. I mean, I guess for a minute, it deterred.
He got stuck with us for a couple of years.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He went from Tennessee, then he had the greatest job he ever had, which was with us. So, I'm telling you, Seth, cheating is actually prosperous in college basketball, unless you don't win enough. If you go to a Final Four, if you win enough, cheating is prosperous.
I'll tell you, we're going to talk about Bruce. We're going to talk about, I guess we got to talk about, what's going on at LSU, because nothing's going on at LSU. They're just, business as usual. I mean, look, they've got a very good basketball team. Trendon Wofford comes back. His brother played at Indiana. Javonte Smart is back. One of the better defenders. They got one of the best scoring guard freshmen, Cameron Thomas. They have one of the best freshman scorers in the country, Cameron Thomas. Darius Day is back. I mean, do they get through the season? Yeah, I think everything's pushed back. You know what I mean? So, I mean, what really happens? So, I mean, here's the deal, Dan. I mean, can you really finish an investigation in the middle of a pandemic? Are we going to have to wait till the end of the season before anything happens?
Deal. All right. First off, the smart kid, you know who his uncle is? Key Smart, game-winning jumper against Syracuse, 1987.
So they had all his connections to Indiana.
If Bruce Pearl had Will Wade's roster, would Bruce Pearl opt out of the NCAA tournament this year? Would he self-impose?
Not a chance. Not a chance. I mean, come on. Look, like I said, I mean, Bruce is a dear friend. They're family friends. But come on, who's zooming who? I mean, here's the deal. I mean, that's the thing is that, to me, just look in the mirror and say, look, here's the deal. This is a gap year for our program. I have this incredible recruiting class coming in next year. We need to just get through it. We need to get through the pandemic. By the way, last year the tournament was taken away from us. I mean, it's almost funny, except when Bruce says it, I have to admit, he convinces himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Himself. I mean, I've never seen a guy take things, and by the time you're done with them, if he didn't convince me, he has reinforced everything he said to himself.
Seth, it is one of the gems of college basketball in a wacky way, right? The Bruce Pearl press conference where he's defending his program going back to Tennessee. Again, Bruce, we love you, baby, but the victimization, the rationalization, the passion, I love it.
His pregame talks to his team, where he's already started sweating even before he's got out on the court.
But you know what? He would not have dropped out of the tournament with that roster. There's no chance LSU is doing anything. So people that are wondering, there is no chance Arizona is doing that. Arizona has dug its heels in, as I said, for a couple of years. So there's no chance of any of that.
No chance of anything. It's just the way it is. Kansas isn't doing anything. And I'll tell you one thing. Kansas has a team that can win it all. Because Marcus Garrett and Oshaya Baji and David McCormick. And, I mean, they've got pieces. And Marcus Garrett's the best player in the country that might not average double figures.
Do we root for, you know, like a trophy ceremony where the head of the NCAA has to give the champion, NCAA champion, the trophy on stage with maybe some FBI guys around, maybe a perp walk after? I mean, what do we got? What are we looking at here to get college basketball, you know, in the front page, in the front section? You know, we want popularity in college basketball. Let's get up. It's something dramatic first week of April with a bunch of dark suits surrounding a stage and, you know.
And what are they doing? Throwing a stage? No, I got that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, one last thing, Matt Painter. You know, one of the things that I always thought in coaching, he came on my radio show and gave a great, really honest interview when Eastern and Harms left. And that's all great in April, right? When guys leave, all of a sudden, here's the season. And, man, you wouldn't mind having two veterans. I always tell that to coaches when they're like, hey, man, you know, guy blanks you off and he wants to quit. I go, be careful because it always is good. And you're tough and your alumni love your toughness in April. And then you're looking out on that court and you're going, oh, man, I wish I had that dude in there blocking shots. Oh, man.
Oh, you know? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Hey, before we get to the previews today, I got a little rant.
Shocking.
People are losing their minds. All these gurus that never schedule a game, that haven't been in practice with these kids, that have not dealt with, you know, everything from March to where we are now, are all complaining. Yeah, you know what? We're going to have games canceled. We're going to have games rescheduled. We're going to schedule games on the fly. That's just the way it is. Could we maybe learn from this and maybe as we move along, just play league games? We might learn from that. You know, it's easy to look in the rearview mirror, all right? Might we end up bubbling or potting? Yeah, we might learn from that. But it's not like all those things haven't been looked at by the people that are overseeing college basketball. So, I mean, like to me, yeah, it's not doom and gloom. We have games on Wednesday. You know, we have people on Thanksgiving that won't be able to feed their families. We have people that are in hospitals with tubes down their throat trying to get air into their lungs and live. And we're complaining that we got to cancel a stinking game? Are you kidding me? It's absolutely ridiculous. So we got to cancel a game. So we're taking one team out of a tournament because someone has been hit by the virus and moving someone else in. So a team has to shut down for a certain number of days and then restart. I understand it. That's terrible. Is it really terrible? No, it's called protocol. It's called precaution. It's called erring on the side of caution. So, I mean, like, yeah, all right. In March, everything was taken away from us. College basketball's starting tomorrow. It's starting tomorrow. And you know what? It's within a pandemic, it's starting tomorrow. And we're going to have obstacles. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to look back and say, maybe we got to do this at this point in time. But you know, all these people just stop complaining. Like you're like the experts on everything, but you've never done anything except maybe talk about it or write about it. And I don't want to hear the people say, well, you know, you don't have to live it. No, here's the deal. I don't know if you have to live it or not, but you know what? You don't have to complain about it. You don't have to point fingers. You don't have to, you know, after the fact say, oh, I was right and you were wrong. Dan Gavitt's a smart man. And the people that, you know, that are overseeing their different programs are genuinely caring about the welfare of their kids. And there's a mental welfare also. Guys have been on campus since July, and you can just pull the rug out from under them. You might. But, you know, right now it's worth giving it a shot, and we have games, and you know what? We're going to move on. But enough of the complaining and enough of the doom and gloom. And you know what? So we have whatever percentage of coaches or teams are shut down. That's the least of the concerns right now. The major concerns are the people that are really struggling to feed their family, getting their jobs taken away from them, you know, have situations where, you know, they have to pay their mortgage or their rent, that they might get evicted. And we're complaining about canceling a couple of games. Come on, man, give me a break and put things in perspective.
Define guru.
Guru is someone who doesn't know what they don't know. Plain and simple.
Very good. There's a lot of them around. Hey, look, I think that's well said. I think you're absolutely right. And we are going to have games canceled. And we have, hey, yesterday, Wichita State landed in South Dakota. Landed. Flew in, landed. Got off the plane, put on Twitter, we've landed in South Dakota. And guess what? About a half hour, 45 minutes later, they turned around and left the Crossover Classic because a couple people on their party tested positive. Guess what happened? VCU jumped right in. Life goes on, man. I am 1,000% with you, brother. Life goes on. And you mentioned Thanksgiving. We're going to have a whole slate of games on Thanksgiving. I think John Rothstein put it out, maybe 12% of the games have been canceled, which means if you look at it the way I like to look at it, 88% of the games are going. So I'm with you, man. We got much bigger problems in this pandemic. And here's the one thing I would say, Seth. I'm torn because I understand what Rick Pitino's saying. I understand what you're saying, too. You know, did we learn nothing from football, that kind of stuff? And Pitino's saying move it back, May Madness. I usually have an opinion on things. I see both sides in that one. I do. I see both sides. I see what Rick's saying. I see what you're saying. What I'm saying, which is, hey, look, let's go. We built in a lot of time here for games. We can do things on the fly by starting it early. But I also see what Rick says, where, hey, look, let's see what a vaccine means. Let's see what some things mean. Move it back. May Madness. It's one of the few times that I get both sides. I really do.
And I can appreciate that. But here's the thing. First of all, the vaccine, the guys that are going to be vaccinated, you know, they're not the student athletes on campuses are the last people that are going to be vaccinated. They're the last group. I mean, it's not like.
And well, let's see where it goes. I mean, everybody seems to know. But, you know, I don't know. I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You're right. They're going to the frontline workers. They're going to people that
the elderly.
Yeah, I get it. And age groups, right? I mean, because
age groups and at risk.
Yeah. And you're talking about with student athletes, 99.98% survival rate. That no, I get all that. But I do get both sides on it. I agree. You're right. But I kind of get both. You know, what's really going on in May? If the NCAA wants to have a tournament that's draw and got interest, what's really going on in May? I mean, you got baseball going, you got NBA playoff. But I also see starting it now, as you know, you and I have talked, you got built in dates, weeks to move games. You know, we had, who'd we have on last week? We just had somebody on last week that was talking about, Porter Mosier. He needs five games. He'll get them. You know what I mean? There's teams. So I'm just excited the season's
starting. Oregon just switched their games. They were going to be the Mohegan Sun. They said, you know what? We're not going to come to the Mohegan Sun. We're going to schedule a couple local games. Boom, done. You know,
I wish people would have listened to us way back because we were saying that the whole time. Not to come to the Mohegan Sun, but local games, local pods. So anyway, I'm excited. We're going to have Pikel on. We're going to talk about the Big Ten. Let me go this route to you. Early tournaments. Like, I'm doing a crossover, and it was originally the Bahamas, you know, Ohio State, all that, Duke. Now it's, you know, it's a great field, Western Kentucky.
It's a really good field.
Yeah, really good field. What do you like? What tournament are you looking at? What Mohegan Sun? What are you thinking about? It's going to be pretty good early here as we go through Feast Week.
Well, I mean, Champions is going to be great. That's right after Feast Week. I think your tournament is as good as any tournament will be. There are going to be matchups. You know, in the Mohegan Sun, they're going to be really good. I mean, you could have Villanova, Arizona State. You know, you've got a potential game. I don't know if it's going to what's going to happen. Tennessee and Gonzaga coming up, as long as Tennessee gets cleared from their protocol. we're going to have good games. You have good games potentially. Your tournament has some terrific potential matchups. How about a Memphis-West Virginia matchup? Yep. I mean, Memphis is good now. Memphis is Sweet 16, maybe Elite Eight good. I mean, they're a year older. They'll take better shots. They're going to take better care of the basketball. They were great defensively. The CSA kids are a big-time shot blocker. West Virginia's got to shoot the ball better and take better care of the ball. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch. I mean, you go around the country, you know, a Villanova-Arizona State game, be incredible. Be an incredible game. UCLA-San Diego State coming up on a single one-off is a great game. Texas Tech-Houston could be a terrific game.
Kentucky-Richmond
could be a great game.
Gonzaga-Kansas coming up.
Kansas coming up this weekend. I mean, we're having really good games. And that's what, like, so we have all, we just mentioned a bunch of games. Now let's see if they come off. What a great start to college basketball. Great. In a pandemic. You know, so, like, let's be appreciative for what we have. Like, you know, it's the holiday season. I got to be honest, and maybe I'm getting older. Like, my mom's 93. She can't come to Thanksgiving. All right, so her Thanksgiving got canceled. That's bigger than a game getting canceled. My daughters can't come for Thanksgiving, all right, because we are keeping our bubble tight. You know what? That's bigger to me than getting a game canceled. And I'm just using me as an example. Think about all the families around the country that would like to have a Thanksgiving, a normal Thanksgiving. But you know what? You adjust and you make, you know, and you change your plans for, you know, basically the good of the group. So, I mean, I think we're going to have terrific games. I think the kids are excited about playing. I just spoke to Andy Katz. He's actually at the Mohegan Sun. He was with those teams that were checking in yesterday. And he said he spoke to Remy Martin, potentially first team All-American. We're going to talk to Pac-12. You know what? He's excited. You know, the coaches are looking forward to it. They're even keeled. They're basically even keeled and excited about playing. I mean, these guys have been on campus since July. So, like, you go July all the way through, they haven't had a scrimmage. They haven't had an exhibition game. They haven't had scrimmages with officials. They've been basically tutoring their classes online, doing their tutoring online, going to the gym, lifting, practicing, and going back to the room. I mean, there's a mental health aspect to it also. So, look, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I respect it. We can agree to disagree on all the different things that happened. But, you know, everyone who's pointing fingers and accusing people, I was right, you were wrong, that's wrong. I'm sorry. That's just wrong. Because the people that are making these decisions are not making them by throwing a piece of spaghetti on the wall and hoping it sticks. Yeah. Oh, you should have just played league games. Yeah, you might have should have just played. You might find that out. I know a lot of coaches felt that, you know, you're in the Big Ten, play 26 league games. You're in the ACC, play 26 league games. Now you're controlling your environment. Might be right. I don't know. But to condemn anyone that doesn't think like you is wrong. If we're ever going to find, even in our society, some common ground, stop condemning everyone that doesn't think like you. Like, here's the deal. Let's find a common ground and work together. Let's not have to be, I'm right, you're wrong. All right? Because I'll tell you, if we have that, you know, I'm not a political guy, then we're never going to find this stimulus package that's going to help all these people that are trying to have Thanksgiving, trying to stay employed, trying to move forward with their lives and have a life after the pandemic. And that's the end of my political stuff because I'm not a very political person. But I mean, it carries right over to what we're doing. Big Ten, who do you like?
Big Ten, who I like? I don't. Iowa. I want to like Iowa, Seth. I'm dying to like Iowa. How do I was thinking about this the other day. Remember when back in the day, Clemsoning was a thing in football, meaning they would lose a big game? Iowa, to me, has to win big games. They've got personnel. I love Fran's son. He just doesn't turn it over. Now Patrick's going to get to play. But you gotta win. Like, it's a big game. Like, I'll give you a game, and I'm doing the game, and I'm fired up about the game. It's on the 8th. It's the ACC Big Ten Challenge. It's going to be freaking North Carolina coming in there. You know what, for me, Seth? That's a big-ass game for Iowa. That's a big game for Iowa because Iowa's got to prove to the world, and maybe to themselves, I don't know, that they can win a big national game, Seth. That's what I if they can show that they can win a big national game. I'm always going to like Michigan State until further notice, Seth. I mean, your boy coaches them up. I love me some Wisconsin. You know, Davis.
Wisconsin's hard to play against with Reavers and Potter, right? I mean, those two guys change everything, right?
And there's Davison. He just flopped again. Holy cow! He just hit the deck. Yeah, and Davison is one of those. He's one of those winning dudes. You know, I mean, he's one of those guys. I did a game, Seth. He had the best 2 seconds ever. He stole the ball, knocked it off the player, came off a double screen, hit the game winner, game over, boom. You know, hail Wisconsin or whatever the heck their thing is.
They won their last 8 games. People don't realize how hard is it. Greg Gardner, a question, because you see the league every day.
Yeah.
All right? You get off to a bad start. You have a player leaves your team, and then you win your last game, 8 games. Like, people don't understand how hard that is to keep your team together moving forward and lead a team when things are going south.
Seth, it's one of the, if not the hardest thing. And then in those 8 games, 4 road games, you go in these Big Ten arenas, there's 18, 16, you know, whatever thousand people every night. And he was coach of the year. I don't know if they gave out awards because, frankly, I stopped paying attention at the end of the year because I was trying to deal with a pandemic, as we all were. But he was coach of the year in the league. But probably, Seth, for me, I've talked about Iowa. I think the overall favorite is Illinois. They got the closer in DeSumo. They got the big guy who improved in the year, Kofi Coburn, Seth. I'm telling you, first game, ACC Big Ten Challenge, they're down 30 at home. And he can't play a ball screen. He looked like me. Like, Miami's got him 30 at home. They come back, make it a game. By the end of the year, Kofi Coburn can do whatever you want with a ball screen. I'm not going to say he's NBA ready, but he's pretty a hell of a lot better than he was. They've got wings. They get after it. Brad Underwood changed his style a little bit. They
more
pressed.
Pack line, right?
Yeah, and then they got their hands out of there, so they didn't foul. I'm going to tell you, Michigan State, to me, you got to beat the king. But if I were ranking them, Illinois would be first. Then I'd probably go Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, in whatever order you want to go there.
You know, it's interesting. I talked to Brad Underwood the other day. And he gave me a great story. He said they did a little ODO script, kind of controlled scrimmage, and it was a loose ball. And he said, first of all, he said DeSum was the most improved player on his team, which when your best player is most improved player, that's a good thing. But if there was a loose ball, he said, and DeSum would just laid out and dove while two of the freshmen watched. And he dove, he got the ball, he pitched it ahead, they scored a layup. Then he stood up and he turned to the freshman. I don't want to call guys out because he says he loves his freshman. And he turned to the guys and said, at Illinois, you die for that loose ball or you don't play. Not Brad Underwood, but Io DeSumo said, you want to play? You want to earn our trust? Right? That loose ball, you die for that loose ball. If you don't, he ain't putting you in. And this, Brad said, it was unbelievable. It was a great moment of leadership and ownership from a guy that was invested in the program. And so you look at DeSumo, he said he's his most improved player. And obviously he's emerged as a terrific leader, you know, getting guys to understand the identity and the culture of the program. I thought it was a great, great, you know, just kind of symbolism of what their program is all about. What do you think of Michigan? Because I look at Michigan, you know what? I was a little down on Michigan. But then I started kind of digging deeper into them. Like, they got shot.
Who you like?
I mean, I like Livers. I got Sean D. Brown. They got the kid from Columbia, Smith, the guard, averaged 22 points a game.
I love Franz Wagner.
And Franz Wagner. So, I mean, I was looking. So, I mean, they've got 3 wing guys, all right, if I'm not mistaken, that they can kind of be interchangeable with. And you know what? That's big right now. But, you know, I look at them. I wasn't thinking about them, but you got Livers, Wagner, Eli Brooks. You got those 3 guys that have experienced that are all double-figure scorers. The Smith kid from Columbia, undersized, but you got to find a way to replace Xavier Simpson. Obviously, that's a potential. Shaundre Brown is just a slashing scorer from Wake Forest. They've got some pieces. Alma mater's got some pieces.
Let me give you a name. Brandon Johns. The previous regime, the Fighting John Beilines, felt that Brandon Johns for Michigan was going to be a draft choice. They felt like he was going to be an NBA player. Over a six-game period, when Livers went out, he averaged 8 points a game. They think Brandon Johns has a chance to be special in Michigan. I don't know how good, like, Shaundre Brown is going to be there, you know, grad transfer. I don't know. But I know this. They got frontline Franz Wagner. People are telling me by the end of the year, don't be surprised if he's not a first-round pick, Seth. I've had three different people tell me that. Year two, Juwan Howard, more comfortable, you know, kind of knows his team a little bit better. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Now, you know, they do lose the big guy, Teske. All right, now Teske.
Yeah, who was terrific.
Much better than I ever imagined. They do lose Simpson, who led them almost, you know, by the hand at different times. But they, you're right, they got guy. And on the backside, they got number one recruiting class in the country right now coming in. So Juwan's doing a hell of a job. Juwan. And then we didn't mention Rutgers. Pikel's going to join us here in a second. Rutgers can do this. Rutgers can get the freaking ball in the basket. I mean, they can
defend and they rebound.
And hey, they got guys that can go get their own too, Seth. And Steve Pikel, I think, has done one of the most, I don't know if it's underrated because who ranks the rankers, I don't care. But I think he's done one of the best coaching jobs in a very difficult situation coming into a league. The Big Ten, when Steve came in, wasn't down. You know what I mean? He wasn't coming into, you know, Michigan State's down or Michigan missed on kids or Illinois and Indiana are down. No, he came into a pretty damn good league, and he's elevated that program very, very quickly, Seth.
Yeah, they built a new practice facility, which is, you know, and the Rack's a great home court. Now, hey, your alma mater.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. I mean, I look at them and I say, this has got to be the year. All right, because, like, I look at Trace Jackson Davis, and I look at maybe, you know, I had him on my All-American team.
Good for you, sure.
All right. I mean, 6'9", 6'10", great on the baseline, playing the high post, runs the floor, hard to keep off the glass, can make a shot. I mean, describe his game. I mean, is that pretty much?
Yeah. You know what, Seth? I've said this before.
The ball finds him.
Yeah. And he's got a nose for it. His dad, Dale, had a nose for it. He's a much better scorer than Dale ever was. But he went up against pros last year every freaking night. Otora at Minnesota, Garza, Coburn, Jalen Smith. He went up against him, and I thought he did a hell of a job. Good for you putting him on your All-American team. Look, I don't know if he's going to be first-team All-American. I don't. I have no idea. This is a year. You know, Indiana basketball is a lot like Michigan football. You know what? Like, Indiana fans are holding on to the fact that possibly they could have been in the tournament last year. Maybe they would. Maybe they, I don't know. With the pandemic, Michigan football fans, man, we've won 8 or 9 games. Okay, that's fine. If that's your level, that's your level. But Indiana needs, look, I'm unfair, okay, because I think Indiana needs a Big Ten title here. Like, I think Indiana needs to play the last week of the season for the Big Ten championship. Doesn't mean you're going to win it, maybe, but you play down the road. They have run in the NCAA tournament. It's been since 2002 since Indiana's been, for crying out loud, in the Elite Eight. Archie's okay. I mean, you know, we all want to say the guy's a great hire. As soon as you hire somebody, he's a great hire. Fine. I was on board, but I'm at the point in my life, Seth, with my alma mater, I just win. I don't want to hear about, well, we're improving the program. He took over. Crean had that program nailed. Yeah, they hadn't made the tournament, but there was a ton of talent there. You got to win at Indiana, Seth. I don't think that's unfair of anybody to say. You got to win.
Yeah, Indiana's like Kentucky.
You got to win. Like,
now, here's my question. How good is Christian Lander? Because, I mean, everyone's saying that they're talking like, all right, Christian Lander graduates early, you know, grad, 6'3", point guard, 6'2", 6'3". Does he change their dynamic?
He does. He does, Seth. But here's the deal. So all these guys, the gurus, he's the number one point guard in his class. So I called, I said, all right, is he Isaiah Thomas? Right? I mean, that's the number one point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're number one point guard, no. He's not anything like that. All right. He changes the dynamic. Rob Phinisee's a terrific point guard. Rob Phinisee doesn't turn it over. Rob Phinisee hits shots. But he's not that, you know, I can dance with the ball kind of point guard. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
That goes, yeah, he's not dynamic.
Yeah, and he goes and gets others. So, yes, I think Christian Lander does that. I'm going to tell you a concern that I have. And everybody gets mad at me when I say this, but it's always true. Don't have mommy on social media ever. Ever commenting on anything. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't happen anymore. But you cannot do that. I've seen it ruin kids at Indiana. Just do your business, bust your backside. Don't worry about it. Because Indiana is like Kentucky with the basketball. If you get caught up in social media at Kentucky, you'll get killed. If you get caught up in social media at Indiana, you'll get killed. At North Carolina, killed. Duke, killed. I mean, you cannot do it. The two kids that are supposedly the most improved at Indiana, Armon Franklin, who I absolutely love. I think he's terrific, and he's going to get better. Like, he was okay last year. Hit a game winner in the Crossroads, hit 4 or 5 threes. It was a highlight. And then the other kid is Race Thompson, a kid out of Minnesota. His dad was a terrific Daryl Thompson running back. Race played and played well at the end of last year. He's gotten better. He had some health issues. I look for those two kids to make a big jump. Couple freshmen can come in and shoot the basketball. Galloway and Leo, Mr. Basketball in Indiana. I think Indiana, if Indiana's eighth, as predicted, they got a problem. They got a problem in Bloomington.
All right. Joey Bronk, can you play the two big guys together?
Yeah, I think, you know, Seth, you'll understand this. It's easy for people to say yes or no, okay?
All right.
To say yes or no, you've got to give context on how a player plays. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is the kind of guy that can play with anybody, and not everybody can do that. You know what I mean? It's easy to say, oh, you can't play two bigs in this day, or it's easy to say, yes, you can. But you got to have the right pieces. And I do think that Trayce Jackson-Davis can play with anybody. Joey Brunk has respect of everybody. He's a hard worker. I think Joey Brunk's going to have a terrific year. And frankly, I root for Joey Brunk, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and Armon Franklin openly. Like, I just like them. They work hard. They do their thing. But sure, you can play with both, because Jackson-Davis is an easy guy to play with. He can play with anybody. He's going to get it, do his thing, and it'll be fine. It's a little like Georgie Bashanisvili and Cody. Mm-hmm. If Bashanisvili could really shoot, and I
– great pronunciation right there, by the way.
Thank you very much. I hope he can. That opens the entire deal up for Coburn and Illinois, because Bashanisvili can do everything that you want to play with somebody except shoot the basketball enough. And, so we'll see. But those two programs with those two bigs, I'm interested. I'm interested in Jack Nungy at Iowa, coming off an injury, 6'10 kid that can shoot the ball. He came off injury. Fran really liked him last year. So there's some bigs in the Big Ten that have a shot, that are veteran guys, that we'll see if they can make their teams better.
All right, I'm gonna throw two last teams at you, because I'm a little bit concerned about it. Not concerned, it doesn't affect me at all, but Ohio State, I look at them and I look at the guys coming back, whether it's Walker or Washington, Liddell, who I actually like. I like Liddell and Young, and those four guys are good. You know, Jalo's coming back. How good could they be? I mean, are they going to be as good as their backcourt? Look, I understand Chris. He figures out a way. You know, people talk about Seth Towns, but Seth Towns is injured. I mean, he had microfracture surgery. They don't know what they're going to get out of him. They hope that eventually he's going to be 100%. He's not 100% right now. You know, they got the kid from Cal who, you know, can make a shot and give him a little scoring. They got a kid from Utah State, Abel Potter. But, I mean, how good are they?
I'm a little concerned about Ohio State, Seth. And, I mean, I could go on a rant about why Caleb Wesson should have stayed. But
First is he didn't get drafted.
That's exactly right. And second is, man, I think think he could have been in some of those all-time record type things, like top 10, top 5, stuff like that. Seth, I think their front, or excuse me, I think their backcourt is pretty good. Dwayne Washington had COVID, but he's fine, and I think he's going to have one of those breakout seasons. C.J. Walker, very good. But, Seth, Kyle Young, terrific fit piece, maybe the fit piece in college basketball. Liddell played really well, but you know what Liddell is, Seth? Liddell's only about 6'7", and I just mentioned a ton of bigs, right? I just mentioned bigs in the Big Ten. Seth Towns not back. Jalo is he's still coming off an injury, so he's not playing in their opener. Seth, I don't think they're very deep. At least I don't think they're very deep in terms of experience. They're not. Justin Arns is going to have to shoot the ball. He's had some big moments. It's about a 40% three-point shooter. He moves into a very, 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 very important spot, as does Abel Potter. But, Seth, they're both guards. And Jimmy Sotos, the kid from Bucknell, is going to have a chance to, if he can get eligible, he might have to sit. He's a guy that they kind of thought was, you know, going to be a little bit like what my son did back a couple years ago, come in, get some assists, stir it up a little bit. I don't know that right now they're in that top five or six. People have them ahead of Indiana. I don't see that, Seth.
I don't see it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I see them ahead of Minnesota.
I know.
Like Minnesota's got a bunch of people. They got the Booth Gotch guy, the kid from Utah. I mean, they've got transfers that can come in and help them win. I mean, which is, you know, like McGowan is a tough, a physical attacking guard. I mean, Marcus Carr. I mean, Kalischer, Curry can come back. I mean,
let me say something about
Brandon Johnson, the transfer. I mean, like from Western Michigan. I mean, they've got more pieces. It looks like Leon Robbins, the big kid from Drake, who averaged like 14-7. I mean, they've got pieces. Am I wrong?
No. Seth, Marcus Carr. Marcus Carr, go get a bucket. He'll go get one late.
Anytime.
Huh?
Anytime he wants.
Anytime. On the road, at home. I do have to say this. I'm so happy about Eric Curry. Eric Curry is a great kid. He's battled so many knee injuries. They came out yesterday. I was reading some reports on Minnesota, said he's going to play. I think that's terrific. Gabe Kalischer and Marcus Carr in the backcourt. Kalischer can shoot the basketball, but sometimes he disappears like a lot of times shooters do, Seth. They lose Otoro. All right. They brought a kid named Robbins in, Liam Roberts, Seth. And he got granted immediately. He averaged, listen to this, 14, 7, and 3 blocks in the Missouri Valley. He played on a team that beat Northern Iowa in the first round of their tournament before we all shut it down. He's experienced. He's played against good teams. Seth, they've shut basketball down there. You know, Minnesota, I'm thinking, is a hot spot here for this. So it's a matter of Richard Pitino doing what his dad was so good at, and that's fit the pieces on the fly. So, you know, we'll see, but they certainly have pieces, and it's led by a backcourt. Marcus Carr last year went off when Ohio State was rolling. Marcus Carr went for like 35 in a game, you know, and Ohio State might have, I can't remember exactly, but might have been undefeated in the league early. And he just said, no, I'm going for 35. So they're a very good team. The Big Ten is loaded top to bottom. And Minnesota, I'm anxious to see because they got pieces. Just got to fit them together, my man.
I agree with you. All right, so Pac-12. We didn't talk about Purdue, who was always underrated and underappreciated. They've got certain pieces. I mean, they lost Harms. They lost Nojel Eastern. Those are two veteran players. It's hard to replace veteran players. There's no doubt about it. But I'm a huge, huge, huge Matt Painter fan. I mean, I think he's a great communicator. He's a terrific coach. He figures out the guys that can play for him. I talked to the people at Maryland this week. They think that they have a chance. I mean, top to bottom, look, there are no rocket ship games in that league. But I'll tell you what, the Pac-12, there are not a lot of rocket ship games in that league either.
How good will Washington be coming off an incredibly disappointing year? Two guys drafted in the first round, Seth. That's a question to me. Because when you look at the Pac-12, I think, now I'm not going to go through every guy. I'm going to go through coach real quick. I think Mick Cronin is going to have a much improved top of the league type of move. I think he's going to make that, if he has to will that UCLA team to a top three finish. What's going to happen at Arizona? Are they, you know, this is the third year in a row, Seth, we're asking what's going to happen with Sean Miller. Third year. We're into year three. 2 years ago, he was suspended. Last year, he was going to be fired. All that. What the hell are we doing there? How good is Remy Martin going to, is he going to be able to carry Danny Hurley now in his, what, fourth year, fifth year at Arizona State?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Arizona State's got a chance to be really good. They got Alonzo Verge, kid, who can, their backcourt is terrific. Now, I don't know, is Luther Muhammad get cleared for them? Because, I mean, if you look at their backcourt, I mean, they've got a chance. Josh Christopher, 6'6", freshman, McDonald's All-American, can really score. Remy Martin puts pressure on you. Now, Remy Martin's got to be more efficient. Remy Martin's a volume shooter. Remy Martin's a guy that can blow it up the floor. They're going to turn you over. They're going to play fast. They're going to try to seduce you into playing the way they want to play. I think the big question is they've just, as a team, got to be more efficient. I agree with you on UCLA. Chris Smith's a monster, all right? And Mick Cronin, think about how they started at UCLA 8-9.
Yeah.
They started 8-9. They ended up 19-12. Now, their numbers didn't improve drastically in terms of what they were doing defensively, but their identity improved. Their toughness improved. Their roles were clearly defined. And then you got Oregon. Dana Altman is like a mad scientist. He loses a couple guys. Now, Peyton Pritchard's going to be a hard guy to replace. But he loses guys, he brings guys in. And that's just the way it is. But his core, he's got Chris Duarte, who was a junior college kid, who had a good year. But I think, you know what it is. JUCO players, the first year is an adjustment. Will Richardson, everyone feels like this is his breakout year. And Fale Dante, the big kid, was injured. Now he's playing again. I think he'll be better. This kid, Jalen Terry, was a Flint kid who has a chance to be really, really good as a point guard originally signed at Michigan State. They've just got a load of transfers, the Williams kid. But I remember the name Hardy, Amari Hardy, the kid transferred from UNLV. He'll be as important to them as anyone. But I think Oregon is really good. I think Stanford has a chance to be really good. Zaire Williams, one of the best freshmen in the country. Absolutely a rocket, incredible in transition, explosive, quick. Now they're going to miss Tyrell Terry and his leadership. I thought he was the difference in their team. But Stanford is a team that's going to be, I think, really dangerous. The problem is I think Colorado is going to be good with McKinley Wright and Evan Batty. And I think Tad Boyle is one of the most underappreciated coaches in the country. I do think, and then we didn't mention Evan Mobley at USC. Isaiah and Evan Mobley. I mean, Evan Mobley is going to be a lottery pick. He's 6'10", can guard anyone, can handle the ball, can pass the ball. So, you know, I just think the league is good. The very bottom of the league is not very good, but the league in general is really good.
Peyton Pritchard. You know, Peyton Pritchard averaged 20 points a game. People think Peyton Pritchard was, you know, this. 20 points is a lot of points in college basketball.
Ooh.
You know, you didn't even mention Arizona.
Arizona lost their best player. Arizona lost their best recruit yesterday. He decided because he couldn't get cleared by the NCAA that he went back and signed a professional contract.
On top of the one that he signed at Arizona?
Oh, boy.
What up, Coach
Pico? What's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Dan Dak and Seth Greenberg here. What's going on? Are you guys practicing? Are we playing? Give us the scoop. Real quickly, so you know where we've come all morning. Enough of the doom and gloom. Let's play some ball.
I know. Isn't it something? You know how it is at this time. I've been, you know, enough meetings over protocol, enough meetings over Gatorade bottles and towels and how we're handling. The guys just want to play. Coaches want to coach. Guys want to play. Hopefully, we're tipping it off tomorrow, waiting on, you know, those tests and, you know, always got to be nervous every day about those tests, but we've been good. So knock on wood, hopefully it stays that way.
Hey coach, explain what you mean. Those tests, is that, that's like everybody, right? You, the team, everybody around the team.
That is everybody, the managers, anybody that's associated with your program. We have a tier one of 30 people. And then the other team, it's the same thing. And so they'll get tested. We're playing Sacred Heart, you know, tomorrow. They'll get tested today. We'll get tested today. Hopefully everybody's good. And then tomorrow we'll get tested again before the game. And hopefully everybody's good. And then we'll throw it up.
If you guys are tested every day.
7 days a week, every single day.
So if you have a positive test in your group, because I know every state is different, you have a positive test in your group, does that shut everyone down, or does that shut that person down, and then you have contact tracing? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a really good job, so we haven't had to deal with it. So luckily, we've been in a good place with it. But yeah, if the opposing team comes in and one person has it, then they're shut down immediately because they're not on that everyday testing. You know, for us, we have the we have another test as soon as they would be positive on an antigen test. We have another test, PCR test, that we give them, and then, you know, tries to confirm whether it was a false positive or not. And then we go from there with those results. But yeah, it's a new world to land. It's a new landscape to navigate, Seth, as if, you know, coaching's hard enough under normal circumstances. Now you got all that kind of stuff that you have to deal with on a daily basis.
It's like finals week every single day.
I said we were testing 2 and 3 days a week, so I was nervous 2-3 days. Now every day, you wait for, you know, the person to come down the hall and say they're good. But, you know, luckily, you know, our guys have been really good and trying to really be real safe. And I do think there's a vaccine around the corner. So I think these last few months here, we got to grind it out and be really diligent. And the players want to have a season. And when they want to do things, you know, they make a lot of sacrifices to do that. And they've been sacrificing a great deal of social time and going places and hanging out and to make sure we have a season. And hopefully we can continue along those lines.
So, Coach, when you hear, like, and all due respect to Coach Pitino, when you hear Coach Pitino say we need May Madness or March or whatever it is, like, how, if you had to delay the start of the season to March, mental health-wise, in terms of your team, how devastating would that be?
I think, you know, we've been going at it since June. I think they're so ready to play somebody else right now, you know, today. And to be honest with you, you know, I was concerned when we moved the season back 2 weeks. And at the time they decided that, you know, they all, you know, at that snapshot in time, they thought that would be the answer to, you know, COVID and helping get the season started. Now, as you fast forward it, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had longer to get the season in place, too. So by continuing to push it back, you know, I don't know what that's going to solve, and the numbers keep going up until we get a vaccination here. We got to live with it, and we got to do a great job of, you know, educating our kids. And we're trying to have a season, and it's hard to keep pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back.
Hey, Coach, veteran guys on your squad, a lot of excitement, 20 wins, 18-1 in the rack last year. You know, Geo Baker, the big kid, Ron Harper Jr. I mean, it's exciting times in Rutgers, my man.
You know, it's been, I mean, it's exciting, you know, to be talked about and, you know, have people rank us and all those things. We're kind of a veteran, you know, team now with some older guys. And Ron's a junior, but he's logged a ton of minutes. They continue to get better, you know, and, you know, Coach Chiano's here in football and our football program. The excitement around that has been awesome. We have a Hall of Fame coach, Coach Stringer. We have a new president here, President Holloway, who's done an unbelievable job in his 6 months of navigating, you know, this pandemic. It's really an exciting university, and the league is a monster, as you guys know. Every night, every coach, Fran McCaffrey, Tom Izzo, Matt Painter. I mean, like, you're playing usually in packed venues, the most watched league in the country and the most fan attended. It's a lot of challenges everywhere. Throw the pandemic in there just to make it a little bit more interesting. So it's great times here at Rutgers, building new buildings. And, you know, I got a great staff, so I'm lucky that they've stayed with me too. Every year people try to steal them and they've stayed with me. So it's exciting. And hopefully our guys will embrace the moment here and make it exciting here in New Jersey and make it the most watched television that we can have.
Coach, I almost say you guys are UConn South. I mean, I look at what you're doing with your program, one, evaluating players, what I call evaluating up, you know, whether it's Geo Baker, obviously, whether it's Ron Harper Jr., developing players, having a mentality of defending and rebounding. Is that the mindset that you when you took this job, was that the blueprint you followed?
You know what? I was blessed because, you know, I played for Coach and I was there year one. So I was really, you know, fortunate at University of Connecticut to see and then to get to coach with him too after I was done playing to really understand what he was doing there. And then I got to work at a few other places that were building programs, Howie Dickerman at Central Connecticut and then Carl Hobbs at George Washington University. And then lucky enough to be at Stony Brook and kind of figure it out. When you're a head coach, you know, when you slide over a few inches on that seat, it's not as easy as some people think. And so I had some, you know, experience in building programs through all the different builds, you know, that I'd been. And when I took the job here, I really, people used to say, what style are you going to play? Well, I was never fortunate enough to, you know, recruit players to play a certain style. I tried to get the best players at the different places, you know, and try to make them better. And really do a good job at developing and figure out each year how to win. But one year my defense helped us win a championship at Stony Brook. Another year we could outscore you. One year we couldn't make a shot, Seth, so we sent five guys to the backboards and we became a great rebounding team, you know, because we couldn't shoot. So figuring out ways to win. And when I took the job here, they said, what style? And just win, just try to win, figure out each year. The team and in this league too, the different styles that are played every night is different. You play Wisconsin one night and then 2 days later you're getting ready for Michigan State, who's trying to take a shot within 7 seconds. You know, like the different styles are unbelievably challenging. And you know, but I've learned a lot from the UConn days, and Coach Calhoun's the best. I mean, he's a brilliant man and a great family guy and the best coach. I'm obviously biased, the best coach in the country.
Coach, what style are you seeing this year?
We are athletic, so we've gotten a little bit bigger. We got some shot blockers, which I'm excited about. First time, you know, I have two guys, Miles Johnson and Cliff Amore, a freshman out of New Jersey or Roselle Catholic, who can really block shots. We got really good length. You know, Jacob Young is one of the fastest guards, you know, in the country. Montez Mathis had an unbelievable offseason. So we're going to play a lot of guys. And we're going to, you know, try to make life, you know, hard on you. And I think we shoot the ball better, too, which would be a big step. We need to make free throws and we need to shoot the three better. I think we've added some pieces that can help us with that. But, you know, we have to now live up to our ranking. We've never been in this place, you know, and Seth, you know how it is. You know, now teams are coming after us and we haven't lived in that world. so we have to figure out, navigate that.
And that's different. It's also a mindset for your guys. I mean, all of a sudden you become a big game on someone's schedule. You know what I mean? But you have the, like at Virginia Tech, we had, I thought, the best home court in the league. You can take Cameron, you can take, you know, the Dean Dome. I mean, people just didn't want to come to Blacksburg, Virginia, and play at Castle College.
Bowling Green came in there and beat your ass.
Yeah, and you cheated too. It's unbelievable. It was the first year. It was before we created excitement. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
You had two walk-ons in that game.
This is what I have to put up, Coach. I should be able to coach you because, I mean, I wouldn't have this much aggravation. But it does change because people look at you in a different way. I mean, because you're a team that, you know, not only is it a tournament team, but a team that can advance. I said last year, I thought if you got into the tournament that you'd get to the second week and just on toughness. But how did you deal with that with your guys? Because here you're building this thing. You get your buy-in. Guys are playing their asses off. You're beating. I mean, you end of the season, you're beating good people. You're winning games on the road. It gets taken away from you. How do you go from there to rebooting your guys to get them to buy into the start of the season in a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, just such difficult, you know, days because we were actually warming up for the Michigan game and we felt really good going into the, you know, the Big Ten tournament. We were confident. And I knew, too, just the way this league prepares you for the NCAA tournament. Like I said, the different styles and the zone teams and the Iowas and the Minnesotas and all the different, the Matt Painters, and that prepares you for that NCAA tournament. It really does. And with short prep, you know, so our guys felt really good, but before the game, they canceled the Big Ten tournament. I never in my wildest imaginations thought they would cancel the NCAA tournament. I thought we would play with no fans. So I didn't think there'd be fans there, but I told our guys, hey, we're getting ready for this next tournament. It'll be the most watched television in the world. You know, I didn't think fans would be able to go, but by the time we landed in New Jersey, the phones were already buzzing. The players kind of told me that the tournament was off. So it was weird. And then for my seniors, you know, like it was over. So we get off that bus, we hugged, we were on spring break at the time. We hugged and, you know, it was like, you know, what just happened in 8 hours, you know, and these kids had worked so hard to get us to that point. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, I remind our guys of that, you know, you never know every year, be where your feet are, you know, that year, you never know. You know, hopefully those obstacles will help us be better this year and be stronger and not take for granted anything. And, you know, it was the right move because it saved lives, I think, and it kept people from getting, you know, coronavirus. But our guys really were devastated at that time. And now we have a chance to, you know, do something about it.
Coach, when you mentioned the different styles, when you came in to the Big Ten, you know, Izzo was an assistant, Painter was an assistant, Fran had been in the Midwest, obviously Guard had been an assistant, you know, yes, and I can go on and on. Archie had been in the Midwest, but you're from the East. What was your impression, and what's your impression now?
Well, you know, when I took the job, I knew what a daunting like task, you know, because the league was so established, and, you know, those coaches have had long runs at, you know, their institutions, and, you know, I didn't realize how the fan bases were, I mean, just unbelievable, you know, and, you know, I played at Connecticut, so I knew what, you know, a Connecticut fan base was like, but these fans are just passionate, the Indianas and the Purdue's and, you know, those venues, I knew they were tough places to play, but until you go into Ohio State when the crowd is packed, until you go into these places, Nebraska, it's passionate. The coaches are really good. I mean, Fred Hoiberg, I mean, I just can go on and on. I think Tom Izzo is the, you know, a great coach, I mean, and a great person. I mean, you know, and every night, and these teams consistently, I don't care who they lose, a couple guys graduate from Michigan. Michigan State's going to be real good. Like, it's just the program and the cultures are just very, very different. And I was a Big East guy. I played at UConn in the Big East heydays, and these fan bases are just completely different. These away venues are, you know, as hard a places to go and win at as there is in the country.
You talk about that, and that's true. So places to play, games to play. When you hear everyone complaining about, you know, oh, my God, you know, they made a mistake. We should just play league games. Or, oh, my God, how, you know, you're going to have to schedule games on the fly. And I understand it's not easy. What's your retort to that? What's your response to that?
I mean, I don't think COVID, you know, cares conference or non-conference. That's my first thing. And you know, it's not a disease that decides we're not going to, you know, we've seen from football, we've seen from everything that you could have everything in place. It's an invisible virus, and you got to try to make great decisions. I think the longer the season goes, the more games you could get in. I think we're all going to be paused probably at some point in time, hopefully not. But I think everyone's going to be, you know, affected by it. But I also think there's a health part of this that kids want to play, you know, and they want to get out of their rooms, and they want to, you know, run around, and they want to do what they love. And so I look at this thing, and I know how serious it is. I'm hoping that there's a vaccine around the corner, because that would be unbelievable. But I think basketball and sports, and, you know, I know my own kids are playing in high school. My daughter's at Northwestern. She's playing basketball there. Like, they look forward to getting out on the court. And I think we could do it safely. Basketball showed, football has shown, the NFL, and, you know, but you're going to have obstacles in the way. But conference, non-conference, it doesn't matter. You know, we're all going to be affected by it at some point in time.
Yeah. And what your students are leaving campus. When do they come back? I mean, you have, in essence, have an opportunity to really create an isolation controlled environment, right?
You know, we've been really lucky here. Our students aren't on campus right now. So, you know, I think our university made that call a long time ago. So we have no, everyone is virtual. So, you know, we've been able to kind of keep our guys, you know, as secluded as you can, but still, you know, the opportunity for them to live their lives, and they need to do, you know, see their families and do the things that they need to do too. So, you know, and I think now with the holidays coming up here, we'll have our team and hopefully, you know, we'll just continue to make smart decisions and play some good basketball. Cause I think that would help a great deal. I know it helped the state of New Jersey, and I know it certainly would help the Rutgers Nation.
Hey, last thing, your daughter, I was reading an article on you when this all came out. Your daughter's sitting there. They win the Big Ten tournament, right, at Northwestern. And damn, she can't go to the tournament. That's hard, man.
I know.
Right?
It was a tough, you know, few days in our family. And they had won the league, and they were good. Coach McEwen does an unbelievable job there with the women's program. And you know, they would have made a run too. They got some really good players, and he's a heck of a coach. He's won a million games himself. And so she was depressed. You know, I was depressed. My son, he's 14 years old. He thinks he invented the game of basketball. He was like waiting to go to Brooks Place and this one. And, you know, so it really was a tough time, a tough stretch, but, you know, obstacles. That's, I say to my kids all the time, I say to our players, that's what the Pikel family endures, like obstacles. Every job I had, there were always obstacles, and just get it back up, brush yourself off and go at it the next day. And that's what she did too. And her team will bounce back this year. They have a chance to be really good again. And hopefully they'll be, you know, on a mission like they were last year.
That's awesome, Coach. Hey, good luck this year. And thanks for taking a few minutes with us, man. Go back to figuring out who's playing, who's not playing. Are you set with a schedule? Are you set?
Hey, today I'm getting scheduling calls. I never, anything like this. I know we're playing Sacred Heart tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then after that, we're still a lot of things up in the air. But FDU, we're supposed to play quickly. Greg Herenda does a great job there. And Hofstra, those are our first three games here at the rack. And then we're working on a couple other games as we speak. So we'll be scheduling them throughout the whole year this year. I have that feeling.
Absolutely.
Well, Coach, easy on Harvard on the Hackensack. Will you please, the alma mater? I mean, just be easy. Don't hurt any of my guys.
No, they do a great job there. So we're looking forward to throwing it up, and I know he's looking forward to throwing it up too. So I appreciate you guys very much having me on.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's great. He can really coach.
He's an easy guy to root for, man. He's taking that job, and he's just taking off with it. And, you know, you said it, and it'd be interesting because the Rack is a smaller gym. The Rack is, you know, a MAC-type gym, and they were 18-1. They had a terrific, I felt, home court advantage, but they're not going to have that. You know, they're going to have the gym, but they're not going to have the fans. I think it's going to be interesting across the board in the Big Ten. Because of these crowds, man, how teams play. That's why, tell you what, you give me Michigan State, you give me Wisconsin, those two teams have shown over the years they can go play anywhere.
I agree. Look, that league is so good. And he made a great point about the league prepares you for the tournament. I know people say, well, the Big Ten hasn't won a championship since X years, but there's so many different styles of playing in the league. It is amazing, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I thought Fran McCaffrey originally brought in a kind of even a different style. He was three-court when he first came in. He was three-quarter court pressing. You know, he would drop back into his own, sometimes drop back into man, depending on make or miss. I'll say this, though, Seth, and I'm a Big Ten guy through and through. It is time for the Big Ten to win a national title. I mean, you think about it, 2000's the last time. I mean, Michigan in the final game a few years ago got blasted by Villanova, but damn, I mean, that's hard to imagine that it's been 20 years now since that.
It's crazy.
It is crazy because you have everything. Look, you have everything. You have players close. You have great high school programs in the Midwest. You have great AAU programs. You don't deal with a lot of the dirtbag stuff that people deal with. I'm just saying, when you think about it, and you just said it, it didn't hit me until just now. 20 years, man.
Long time.
Get going. Let's go.
Family motto?
Back the hell up.
Well, you know what? World's Greatest Podcast never disappoints. We really appreciate Coach Pikel. It is exciting to have college basketball back. There are going to be roadblocks and detours. Deal with it. It's, you know what? Let's appreciate where we are. Let's appreciate what we have. Remember where we were last year in March, and embrace not only the good, but embrace the bad, because the bad is protocol, and protocol is in the best interest of all involved.
There you go.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.